Good evening, folks. It's good to be with you this evening. I have the privilege of bringing God's word to you. Now, from time to time, David gives me this opportunity, and I appreciate it. I really do. I'm retired from the pastorate and get to preach churches now and then as I supply for them. But I'm really happy to get to preach for y'all once in a while. And so if you've got your bulletin, you know to turn to chapter 80 of Psalm 86. And I entitled this A Model for Prayer. And this is one of David's prayers. In the Psalms, we have a lot of prayers of David. And it's good to read David's prayers in the Psalms. Now, Brother Gary brought us a sermon about prayer last week, and it was really good. If you missed it, you missed a blessing. Prayer is a topic that's interesting to talk about, good to hear sermons on. But prayer is one of those topics that's rather personal. And it's hard to really pin down. If you try to define prayer, it doesn't fit a single definition. Because prayer is so personal. Prayer is different to each individual. It's a discussion with God. It's a request from God. It's a petition to God. It's a reverence for God. It's rather inimical. It's something special to each individual. And even the disciples, when they came to Jesus, you know that they have been praying, but they said, teach us to pray. And Jesus gave them what we know as the model prayer. But prayer is not limited to one form, one way of doing things. This is a prayer of David, and it's not the only way you can pray. And I want to discuss tonight what prayer can be. Now I'm going to read the first 7 verses from this psalm and discuss some things about prayer. And it's not going to be the final word. But I will discuss some things that might be helpful to all of us as we discuss prayer. Lord, listen, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Protect my life, for I am faithful. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant's life, since I set my hope on you, Lord. For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, abundant in faithful love to all who call on you. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea for mercy. I call on you in the day of my distress, for you will answer me. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise you and thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your love. Lord, we honor you. We praise you because you are God. Only you are God. And Lord, we thank you for your love for us that never fails. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet together in your house, praising you in our songs and praising you in our thoughts. And Lord, lifting you high because you have loved us and you have brought us to yourself. And Lord, we want to just give you honor and glory tonight as we read your word and as we discuss the goodness of the opportunity and the privilege it is to come to you boldly in prayer as we are taught in the book of Hebrews. Lord, help us to discuss, help us to see your word. Just fill me, Holy Spirit, that I may discuss prayer in a way that is uplifting and helpful to each one of us. And just use us in your work. We just praise you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. As we discuss these things, we ought to see it first, if nothing else, the need for prayer. And all of us who are Christians, who are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, should already know that we have a need for prayer. And according to this psalm, we need prayer in times of trouble. And that would seem probably pretty obvious to all of us. When we're in times of trouble, we need prayer. And David said, "Help me, for I am poor and needy." Now that might be some Americans today might have a little bit of difficulty seeing, "Oh, I'm not poor and needy." Folks, if we don't see that, we need to adjust our vision. We all are poor and needy. Some of us can see that right away. There are some people today, even in America, who are in financial distress. And when you're in financial distress, you can see you're poor and needy. It's pretty obvious. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. There have been times in my past whenever I had difficulty, financial difficulty. I was down and out. I didn't know where I was going to have the money to meet my bills, to meet my obligations. And I poured out to God saying, "Lord, it's on you. I trust you. I will get through this somehow, and you will see me there." And he met my need, and he got me through it. I don't know how he did it at times, but the money was there when I needed the money there, and he got me through those times. But folks in financial troubles, Christians in financial troubles, have the assurance that God will get us through these things. And they can trust him. They know that he will. Lay it all on the Lord and watch him work. People with health worries know to trust in the Lord. I think many of us can identify with that, can you not? We have difficulties and problems with health these days. My goodness, we're in the middle of and hopefully coming out of this COVID crisis. That has hit a lot of us lately, hadn't it? If we had had good health up until now, it has hit a lot of healthy people too. But a lot of us have had health troubles over the lifetime that we've been living. And a lot of us, as we're getting older, are seeing our health being bothered by things coming up that we didn't think we'd ever have to worry about when we were young. And as we get older, things are deteriorating. And as our health begins to have trouble, we know that we can depend on the Lord to get us through and see us through hard times. We know that God will take care of us. He may not get us out of it, but he'll see us through it. He doesn't promise that we'll be rid of all of our health troubles, but he'll get us through them. He'll be on our side through all things. He'll take care of us. And we all will have relationship troubles from time to time. That's the nature of human beings. We can do all the best that we can, but somebody's not going to like us. Somebody's not going to like what we said. They're not going to like the way that we looked at them. We're going to have relationship troubles. It's going to happen. But if we call on the Lord and ask his help to get through whatever's going on and give us direction and guidance and help to take care of and lead us and guide us, he will help us and give us advice to get through and to help us to right the wrongs that have been done. God will help us in times of trouble. We need to call on him. We're going to discuss about how and when and so forth later. But he'll help us in times of trouble. But in times of trouble could also be times of spiritual weakness. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. I confess it, folks. Even preachers have times of spiritual weakness. Times when we are not as close to the Lord as we need to be. And we need to call on the Lord in times of trouble. There are times when we lose the fervor for the work of God that we ought to have. And you might be able to identify with that. When we once were on fire for God, now not so much. Well, we may still be going through the motions. We continue to go to church. We continue to do the things. We go to Sunday school class and we continue to meet. But the fire that we once had isn't burning so bright. It's just, Paul described it in his letter, the love of many has grown cold. And that might be you or me from time to time. So we feel a little distant from God. I don't know if you've had or have seen that wall hanging. If you feel distant from God, guess who moved? I've seen that in some houses and kitchen or a living room here and there. And it's so true. God doesn't move, does he? It's us. If you feel distant from God, we know who's moved. We've pulled away from God. Not on purpose. It's a slow process. But we've allowed ourselves, because of the cares of this world, because of the troubles or the things, the busy things that we get involved in, we just kind of get our attention pulled away. And we move away from God. And all of a sudden we take stock and take a look. And I'm not as close to God. I'm not on fire anymore. I used to be excited. And I'm not excited for God anymore. The fire's not burning very bright. I still believe. I know whom I believe. There's no doubt. But there is no excitement. There's no fervor. There's nothing gripping me anymore. I'm just uninvolved. I'm uninvolved. We can get that way in our marriages too, can't we? Oh, I'm happily married. I got that same spouse I've had for umpteen this many years. I'm not really excited by my spouse. I'm not terribly excited about my love anymore. We're comfortable, aren't we? I think we ought to get excited again about our love life in our marriages. That's my marriage advice for y'all. Don't let that die out either. But we need to be excited about our Lord who saved us and gave his life for us. And he bought us with a price. He redeemed us. He bought us out of the slavery to sin. And just like you could buy a slave out of slavery with money, his price was his own life, the blood that he shed. What a price he paid for your life and mine. We owe him everything we are. And we ought to be excited about giving to him everything that we have to help in the work that he brought us to. Oh, it's exciting to live for the Lord. We've got to get that excitement back. And the need for prayer is our access to power.
We have access to the very power of God. God is power. God is power. There is no power in this world that God is not the result, the author of it. Oh, we think that God, these nations have a lot of power. We've got all kinds of nuclear weapons in our country. And Russia has lots of nuclear weapons in their country. And there are other countries that have these nuclear weapons. We talk about, oh, the power of that. Folks, they're playing with the stuff that God made. God has power. They're just playing with the stuff that He made. God is the source of all power. And prayer is the access to the very power of God. God is great. Look at verse 10 of that power, of that psalm. He says, "For you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God." Ah, folks, God is the power. And we access that power by prayer. He's the creator. He is the one who made everything. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning that Edward Hubble is a theorist who made the theory of the Big Bang. And I'm not even discounting that possible. If there is, there was a Big Bang, God created that Big Bang. That's the way He made it? Okay, I don't mind. But God created. And whenever that God created, it was because He was able to make it happen. Out of nothing, something. And God is able to continue to keep it going. Through the power of Jesus, God is the miracle worker. No human being, I don't care what they say, can perform miracles. They can do good work, but they can't perform miracles. God performs miracles. Defying all the laws of nature and science, He can make things happen that nobody can explain. I had a deacon in a church at Crocker. Doctors diagnosed 4 totally blocked arteries. Scheduled him for open heart surgery. Put him into the hospital. Night before surgery, they were going to open his chest. Wanted one last x-ray to make sure that they were going to get the right arteries. Took him to the x-ray lab because they're going to open him the next morning and x-rayed his heart. There were no blocked arteries in that man's chest. Totally clean. People praying all over this state for that man's heart. And he didn't need any surgery. They released him the next morning instead of opening his chest. God can perform miracles and does. Doctors couldn't explain that. No way they could explain that. God is a miracle worker, and God is available, according to verse 7. I call on you in my distress, and you will answer me. David was convinced of it, and we can be convinced of it when we pray to the Lord. When we pray, God will answer us. God will answer us, convinced of it, because God does not turn away His ear from His children. He will answer us when we pray. Because he doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He is always attentive to our cries when we call on him. He always listens. And we have the privilege of the priesthood of the believer, according to Hebrews 4:16. We are a priesthood of the believer. As we approach the throne of grace with boldness, so we may receive mercy to find grace to help at the proper time. We know that we can come before him because through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne of God. We have that privilege and we should always use it. So David gives us in this psalm the pattern for prayer. According to verse 3, we should pray all day. Now, I don't think David spent the whole day, every day in prayer. David had other things to do too, didn't he? But he says pray all day. Paul said pray without ceasing. Did Paul pray all day, every day? Paul made some tents too. Paul preached in the marketplaces. Paul preached in the synagogues. He didn't pray every minute of every day. But he did be in an attitude of prayer all day, every day. That means every opportunity as things come up. But I do think we should set a time to pray every day. Now, if you're not in the habit of that, and I bet most of you are, but if you're not, set a time every day that you pray regularly. Every day. Morning time, noon time, afternoon, before you go to bed, whatever is comfortable for you, that you do not miss to pray every day. That's a special time you set aside and you will pray to the Lord. That's your prayer time. That's at least one. Don't miss that. Do it every day. Now that's your personal prayer time. Morning time may not work for you. Some of you aren't morning people. I used to work with a lady over at Fort Leonard Wood that said, don't speak to me until I've had my cup of coffee. She wasn't a morning person. Prayer time in the morning wouldn't work for her. You may be like that. Some of us are just not with it in the morning as we first wake up. Some people wake up bright and cheery and ready to go. That would be a good time for you. Everybody's different. But you set yourself up a prayer time every day that's right for you, and you dedicate yourself to that prayer time. Then there are other times as they approach, as they come up. Don't be like my stepdaughter. Now, some of you pray as you drive. She lives in Springfield. And she was driving to work one day and thought of something she needed to pray about and closed her eyes and said a short prayer and woke up opened her eyes in the bumper of a car in front of her. Shouldn't have just closed her eyes to pray. You can pray with your eyes open, especially if you're driving. But yes, you can pray at any time. If something comes to your mind and you need to talk to the Lord, God hears you. You can speak it, you can think it, you can pray when there's time, as it comes about. Pray when it comes. Speak to God often. When things come to your mind that you think, I need to talk to God about that. Don't wait. Don't wait. Do it. Because you'll forget it later. I guarantee you, you'll forget it. When you think about it, speak about it. Talk to God about it. Talk with your friend. Proverbs 18:24 says that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's talking about God. He is our friend. And you can talk to God like you talk to your friend. Lord, this is bothering me. What can I do about that? Give me some advice. Show me what to do. Help me with this. I'm not feeling right. You can talk to him just like you talk to a friend about it. He's your friend. You've never had a better friend. Guarantee. Talk to the Lord just like you talk to a friend about stuff like that. But be earnest in prayer. Now, earnest in prayer means different things to different people. This means serious about it. Serious about it. I'm afraid sometimes when we pray, we use pattern prayers. And we get to repeating the same words over and over, so it becomes just kind of like a process. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You can repeat that over and over again, and it means nothing. It's just words you repeat. And you can get your prayers into that kind of a pattern, so that you're repeating the same words over and over, and we get to where they mean nothing. If you just repeat the same words over and over. Talk to the Lord with earnesty. You're thinking about what you're saying, and you're meaning what you're saying, because it's important to you. Be earnest about what you're telling the Lord and why you're saying it to him. Tell him about your feelings. What are you feeling about what you're saying? That'll change the way you pray. That'll change about what you pray. Who are you praying for, and why are you praying for them? Tell him about your feelings about who you're praying about. And then do ask him for your needs to be met. Now, that may be last in your prayer, but tell him about your needs and why they need to be met. That's why I use 1 Peter 5:7, maybe one of your favorite verses to quote. But cast all your prayer cares on him, because he cares for you. You can cast your cares on him. He invites you to. He cares for you. He knows what your needs are. He knows why you need them. And he wants you to talk to him about them. So tell him about them. And the pattern for prayer should include your special times for prayer. In your times of trouble, we've already mentioned those, and in your times of blessing, when something has come right and something has happened good, share your feelings with the Lord about the blessings too and thank him for them. Our prayer time should be thankful times. Now, Brother Gary hit that last week. I didn't want to step on him about that. But do be thankful in your prayers. And thank him for the blessings that he showered on you. Don't forget to do that. Be thankful for his blessings. And spend some time doing so. Now, there are some special reasons for prayer, and I wanted to spend some time on that. The first and very obvious one is the prayer for redemption. I hope and I suspect every one of you have prayed the prayer for redemption. You've asked for God to save you. And only God can save, according to verse 13 of this psalm. For your faithful love for me is great, and you deliver my life from the depths of Sheol. King James Version would say hell. That's redemption. God saves us through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross to save us from our sins. And only God can save us. We pray for redemption. And that starts us on the road of Christianity. There's where we first believe. There's where we first trust God. We believe that he wants us to be free from sin. And we ask for that. And God bestows his mercy according to verse 5. For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, abundant in faithful love to all who call on you. Love that term, faithful love. Remember that term, chesed, from the Old Testament? Faithful love. It's so rich because God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When we call on him in faith, believing, he'll give it to us when we call on him in faith. So the prayer for redemption is a wonderful prayer. But we also pray for comfort. He calms the troubled heart. I love that part. How many times have our hearts been troubled? When our hearts are troubled, we turn to the Lord. Oh, folks, it's been so often when our hearts were troubled that we might have turned to a friend. We might have turned to a book. We might have turned to a psychiatrist. But we've got lots of places we turn to for help when our hearts are troubled. The best place to turn is to the Lord. He calms the troubled heart. Look at verse 4. He will bring joy to your servant's life since I set my hope on you, Lord. Now, David had his troubles. David had people on him and trying to bring harm to him and just assailing him on all sides. And he turned to the Lord. And that's the best place for you and me. When our hearts are troubled. Why? Well, that's point B. He loves us all the time. God is consistent. The places elsewhere we can turn for help when our hearts are troubled might give us some help sometimes, might not sometimes. You just never know. But God loves us all the time. He is true. He is faithful and true. And he will always be there for us. Remember back? He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is always there for us. And he will calm the troubled heart. We can count on him. Let's always turn to the Lord for our comfort and for guidance. Because he reveals his plan. Now, we might not think that's so easy. Because we don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do, and we're not getting any answers. But verse 11 says that it will. He says, teach me your way, Lord, and I will live by your truth. Teach me your will, and I will live by your truth. If we pray that, we will live by the direction that God reveals to us in our inner heart and in our mind. He'll reveal what we should do. It'll come to us. He will answer our prayer. It may not be immediate, but He'll give us direction. He'll give us answers. And we'll know where we should turn, what we should do. He shows solutions to problems. We may need to be patient. It may take a little time to get an answer like that, but it'll come. God hears our prayers and answers them. Now, we may be impatient. We may want an answer now. It might not come right now, but it'll come when it's supposed to come. God will answer your prayer. You've got to trust Him. You've got to hold to Him. We also pray to God for strength. For strength. You know, our strength is rather feeble. You might not really get that point very well. So I did a little thumbing through the Psalms and lots of places. Psalm 22:15. My strength is dried up like baked clay. 31:10. My strength has failed because of my sinfulness. I didn't want to read to get them all because I would just about bog you down. There are many references throughout Scripture about my strength is small. It's not enough. I don't have the strength that I need in myself. I think maybe most of us would agree that by myself, I don't have much strength. But His power can be ours. Verse 16 tells us that, turn to me and be gracious to me. Give me your strength. Give your strength to your servant. There are lots of other verses in the Psalms say the same thing. 23:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, who is always found in times of trouble. 93:1, the Lord is robed and enveloped in strength. God is our strength, and His power is available to us. Back to the point I made earlier, through prayer. His power is available to us through prayer. We can tap into His strength. Jesus told His disciples, without me, you can do nothing. But Paul made the declaration, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? But prayer is our source to tap into that strength. If there's anything that we need to get from a discussion about prayer, is that we need to do more of it. I don't care how much you pray. Do you pray too much? Anybody wonder what the dead would say? I pray too much. No. We need to pray more. The more you pray, the more access to the power of God you have. We need to pray more. We need to pray more consistently. We need to pray more in trust and believing. We need to give God all the time that we have to pray and to accept what He has for us. It's one of the gifts that we've been given. And we don't use it as much as we ought to. I think we ought to dedicate ourselves more. And that's what we're going to use our invitation hymn for, to dedicate ourselves to pray more. So Brother Keith's going to come. He's going to lead us in a hymn. If you want to dedicate yourself where you're standing, if you want to come down and pray some, that's the time that God has given us to give in dedication. So
That's your opportunity.